You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Friday edition. And today we had, this morning in Washington, D.C., they had a release. They do this monthly. People call it the Jobs Report. It's a summary of two surveys that the Department of Labor, Bureau of Labor Statistics, puts out. And what's interesting, this is the last jobs report before the election, the midterm election next Tuesday. Now, many are saying this is an outstanding jobs report. I will say it's a solid, good economics report. Any president would love to have this type of report right before midterm. And the reason why is the unemployment rate is still at 3.7%. But what went up, and there's a long way up this has to go, the civilian labor participation rate went up 0.2%, which means people that were not in the labor force entered the labor force, and more people were looking for jobs. That's good. Ideally, the best situation you want is a falling unemployment rate and a rising civilian labor participation rate. Well, it wasn't falling, but the civilian labor participation rate, which is key, at one time in the Bush years was between 66 and 67%. And a matter of fact, in a couple of years in the Clinton years, as well as the Bush years, it was above 67%. Now, many economists, not me, are saying the reason why the labor participation rate has gone down is you have a lot of baby boomers that were born between 1946 and 1964 are leaving the labor force. They're retiring. Now, I grant that is happening. That's definitely happening. But the real fall off from the range of 66 to 67% was a direct result of the Great Recession that we had from December of 2007 through the middle of 2009, when millions were being laid off. And we had negative economic growth. But starting in the middle of 2009, continuing today, I think we're in the 97th month, as I recall. The economy has been growing. That's good. What's not good, it has not been growing until recently, at even the historical rate of roughly 3% to 3.5%. And then that is what I consider average economic growth. It's good. It's not negative. It's positive economic growth. But it's more in line with what the U.S. economy has done for many, many decades. Unfortunately, for the 8 years of Barack Obama, it never grew. And I'm talking annual rate. You're always going to get a quarter. I don't care who the president is. You're going to get a good quarter occasionally of 4% or higher. The name of the game, though, is consistency. And that's what I caution everyone before you get very, very excited about this report. I think it's encouraging, but you need 300,000 jobs created month after month after month. You do that for 3 years, and this economy will be booming. And I mean booming. The unemployment rate would be definitely under 3%, and I would not be surprised that the labor participation rate would be over 67%. If that happens, and it could happen with the right economic policies, Donald Trump will win in a landslide, and Mike Pence will replace him, and win another landslide. Because what it shows is economic policy matters, and the wrong economic policies, and I consider the wrong economic policies of both George Bush and Barack Obama, gave us lousy economic growth. So ideas have consequences, so do economic policies. And you definitely need to pay attention to it, because why many people don't really care that much because they're working, once they become unemployed, then they start to really pay attention. Now, there's a little bit too much in terms of the Trump administration going on and on and on about, well, this is the most Americans in U.S. history are working now. Okay, fine. But where, if you got all the Americans that want to work working, what would be the size of the labor force? I would say it would be at least another 20 million and potentially 30 million. No one knows. You can't run that experiment. But if you had meaningful economic growth, I mean consistently over 3%, and you should get quarters of 4, 5, 6%, then you will get a boom. But it can't be just 1 month in terms of the jobs report or 1 quarter in terms of the real gross domestic product, the sale of all final goods and services of the economy. So this is very, very encouraging. I'm sure they're delighted in the White House, and some commentators are going on and on about it. Now, one point, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again. There is a lag between the time you change an economic policy and the time it starts to take effect. And I always say that the first year of any new president is really the last year's results of Obama. So Obama's trying to take credit for not only the last year, but this year. No, you can't do that, because you've had significant policy changes. One is reducing and eliminating a lot of regulation. That's definitely positive and encouraging to businesses. You've also had a tax cut that benefited corporations, but it also benefited the personal income tax for people. The problem there is you need fundamental reform, and you haven't gotten it. And I think President Trump wisely said, this is not reform, it's a tax cut. Yes, it was a tax cut. I'm for any tax cut. And that's good news, but it doesn't last forever. And I think for the first year to two, you will see, definitely see, good numbers because of the tax cut. It takes time for people to change their habits. And what we're talking about is their spending habits. Now, I wanted to give you some background. What should we be looking for if we're going to have, first, it should last as long as possible. I don't think there's any magic. It's 97 months. Okay, we're getting in record territory, but it could go 200 months if you have the right economic policy. That's a big if. Now, there's always what economists call exogenous, external events that can screw up your economy. War breaking out would. A trade war breaking out, for example, with China. And what businesses don't like is uncertainty. And there's a big uncertainty hanging over the Trump economic policy. And what's encouraging is President Trump is aware of it. Thank God. What am I talking about? I've been talking about it for months. Government spending at the federal level is out of control, as well as in many other states and cities. States and cities have to balance the budget, but the federal government doesn't, and it hasn't. And that means more resources are going to the federal government that, quite frankly, should be going to the federal government. You need real, and I mean real, cuts in spending. Not cuts in the growth of spending, real cuts in spending. I emphasize that because in business, when you say I'm cutting spending, that means, let's say you were spending $1 million in advertising and you're cutting it by half, you're only spending $500,000. That's a cut. That's not a cut in the government. That's a disaster for the government. A cut in the government, well, instead of growing by 10%, it's only growing 5%. And that's what the Democrats say. Oh, the Republicans cut spending from 10% down to 5%. That's a cut. No, it's not. It's a cut in the rate of growth. I'll accept that, but you're misleading the people. What needs to be happening is real cuts in spending. Is it going to happen? I seriously doubt it, because both political parties, Democrat and Republican, are big spenders, and they want government spending to go up, up, and up. And the president can propose any budget he wants, And he can, and supposedly is, going to propose a budget that has real cuts in it. Well, we'll see, but Congress will dispose of it. You better believe that all the Democrats, however many that get reelected in the House and the Senate, will not vote for real cuts. I take that as a given. If anything, they want increases in taxes. See, they want to decrease the money you have and businesses have to spend so the government can have more money to spend. Now, they don't call it spending. The government will invest. No, they're taking money out of your pocket and putting it in somebody else. And the government is doing that. And a lot of politics, that's exactly what it's about. How can we get more and more money out of the American people, whether they're middle class or very, very wealthy? You see, I'm for limited government. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican for the simple reason both parties are playing this game. I call it Santa Claus socialism. Vote for me and I'll give you some free stuff. The Democrats do it all the time. You just listen to Bernie Sanders. We're going to give you free college education. We're going to give you free medical care. And it goes on and on. And you say, well, Bernie, how are you going to pay for it? Well, that's what they don't emphasize. How you're going to pay for it is your taxes are going to go sky high. And I mean everybody's taxes. So it's very popular to say, I'm going to give you a lot of free stuff, not telling the American people, where's this free stuff coming from? You're going to pay for it. There's nothing free, ladies and gentlemen, and that's the point. So ideally, what you need to be happening in Washington is fundamental tax reform and other tax cut didn't go near as far as it should, together with what? Downsizing of the federal government. And really what should happen, I haven't heard boo out of the White House or the president. You should be eliminating departments and agencies. Haven't heard that for a while. You see, only when it's election time and in 2020, well, we're going to eliminate the Department of Energy or the Department of Education. Those seem to be the two favorites. I'm all for eliminating them. Please, the sooner the better. But you really could eliminate at least 8. And I would say 10, but nobody, I haven't heard any, last time anyone mentioned it is when Perry was running for president. Yeah, he's in the cabinet now, and he forgot what departments he was going to close. Now, I know he was sick and all that, and maybe on medication. The point was, at least he had the guts to say it. I'm waiting for Trump to do it. I don't think he'll ever do it. Now, he can surprise me, but you see, one is not enough. And the point I'm making, you need to do that first, and these are shutting down permanently departments. And some say, you can't do that. You can't do that. Well, watch, because if you don't do it now, you're going to be forced to do it. You can't continue year in, year out, running massive deficits. The deficit last year is what, 770, either 776 billion or 779, what's 2 or 3 million? And this year it will be over $1 trillion, $1,000 billion. And that's why I'm not a Republican or Democrat anymore. They're both big spending parties. They're not for limited government. And the trend is, it's a trend, and it's a big trend is more and more government. And that's not only been the trend in the United States, it's been the trend in Europe and what's happening. Economic growth goes down, 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 and you have high unemployment rates. If you want near full employment, you want high growth rates, and you can't have high growth rates where the government is spending too much money. And that's exactly where we're at now. If you ask me what could lead to, there are several things that could lead to Trump having only one term. This is one of them. You got to keep the growth rates up to do two things, keep unemployment down and the labor participation rate up. Because if you don't do that, what happens? You're going to get another recession. We haven't eliminated recessions. I know periodically you get into a, let's say, optimistic era. Oh, we've eliminated our fine-tuned monetary and fiscal policy has eliminated recessions. No, 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 that's not true. And most recessions are caused, and I'm going to get on this in a minute, by changes in monetary policy. And President Trump has complained about Powell's increasing of the federal funds rate. Now, I'm on Powell's side on this in the sense that I don't think we have at least 1, if not 2% to go in terms of increasing the federal funds rate. It's still a neutral territory. At least that's what he says. What I want, frankly, is the elimination of the Fed. You don't need the Fed. And for many, many years, we didn't have it because they unfortunately overdo it. They don't know when to stop. They're usually late. And they pursue a policy that inevitably puts us in a recession. And that's the concern President Trump has. But the situation was from December 2008 through this, I think it was December of 2015, might have been November, who's counting? We had near zero interest rates in terms of the federal funds rate. Now, the federal funds rate is the overnight rate that banks charge each other. And that's what our central bank, the Federal Reserve System, that's what it's targeting now. They've had different targets over time, but now they influence the short-term rates. And they kept it deliberately low for too long. They should have been increasing it gradually. And I'm not a proponent of every quarter increasing it. I think they're doing it too much. But as the economic situation warrants it, in other words, as inflation picks up, and it is picking up, you're going to have to gradually, if you see, here's what the mission of the Federal Reserve. One is it's a lender of last resort. I'm not going to cover that other than to say it does that job fairly well. But it's price stability. Now, they say as long as it's under 2%, between 0 and 2%, and there are different measures of how prices are changing. I'm not going to bore you with the technical details other than to say I'm not for that. I'm for price stability. I mean zero. And the reason is what has happened, and you can see the impact of the Federal Reserve. If you take it, they started operations in 1914. So they've been in existence over 100 years. Now, there's a myth they're independent. Don't believe the myth. They're like hand in glove with the Department of Treasury. But the textbook says they're independent. Well, you can believe what you want. But what did they enable during the last recession? Oh, they made sure the banks were saved. You better believe they made sure. But they also made sure that the government had money. Because to pay for all these huge deficits, especially, you know, the first year was over $1,400 billion of Obama, then $1,300, then near $1,300. I think they had four years left. Those are huge deficits. How did the government pay its bills? A deficit means the government is spending more money than it's collecting. Well, the only way it can pay its bills is borrow. And you need people to borrow. And the Fed has, up to now, really have not had that trouble. There are plenty of people, institutions primarily, but also individuals that buy Treasury bills, especially when uncertainty is very, very high. Let's say it's a high probability, let's say of a trade war or a real war, people flee to what they perceive to be the safest asset category, and that in the past, and some would say even now, is Treasury securities. I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole because it's out of control. When government's out of control in terms of its spending, what does it mean? It's going to borrow. And unfortunately, many of people in Congress, a few people really understand it. Some understand it and want to ignore it. Very few are doing anything about it. Because that means making tough decisions. What's tough decisions? Closing federal departments, cutting the budgets of the remaining departments. Is the Democratic Party talking that? No, they want more money for all the departments, or most of them. They're not big on the military. So there's no talk in Washington of what truly needs to be done is downsizing the federal government and permanently closing departments. And ultimately, it's out-of-control government spending that will definitely end this period of growth, combined with monetary policy that probably takes it too far. Usually, that's what they do. Now, I firmly believe that you can have federal funds rate between 3 and 5%. And if you look for the long history, that's where the federal funds rate has been. Now, I'm not hung up in the sense that it has to be between it, but we had highly manipulated control federal funds rate. And who did that hurt? Didn't hurt the banks. It certainly didn't hurt the government. They needed it. But who did it hurt? And it's given a name, financial repression. It hurt people, the savers, people that save their money, want a very, very safe place, and were used to, many, many years, got 2, 3, 4%. They were getting 25 basis points, 0.25 of 1%. And that was from, again, December 2008 through 2015, 7 years. That, in my mind, was a mistake. They did it too long, and now they need to catch up. And they were slow even increasing it. Now they're increasing it. They should. Why? The economy is doing significantly better, as the jobs report shows. Now, if the jobs report and the December's jobs report for November is equally as good, say 250,000 plus, then I think it's a certainty that the Federal Reserve will definitely increase the federal funds rate by a quarter of a percent. And it should. Some would argue maybe even a half of a percent. Depends how good. Between the time they have to make a decision, what will you have? You will have the end of November, you'll have the second estimate for real GDP. That's a significant data point. And it'll probably come in at, I'd say, somewhere between 3 and 4. Initially, it looked like people were talking 4 to 5, but I think 3.5. Who knows? But they'll have that information. And what else will they have? They'll have additional jobs report. And if the jobs report is as good as it was this month, many people are saying, definitely, the Fed. Remember, they're an independent body. They can make up their mind. And President Trump's not happy, but he knows they're independent. He sort of broke in a gentleman's agreement that the president really shouldn't comment. Well, I don't have any problem. If the president wants to comment, I comment on it. So do a lot of other people. They follow this. They're Fed watchers. Whew. And they get paid. Some of them get paid big money, so don't laugh. They're watching the Fed and can tell you what the Fed is going to do. Well, yes and no. To an extent, they can. Yeah, I think the Fed funds rate in December will go up another 25%. Guess what? At least 75% of the experts out there also agree. So I'm apparently good company. Who knows? But what happens if, a couple of things. What happens if the Democrats, I really even don't want to say that. What if, surprise, surprise, the Democrats get control of the House and significant control? Now, I don't think it's going to happen. I think and I've said this, there's going to be a red wave, but the Senate, the Republicans should pick up, I think, several seats, but I think they'll have 56 senators that will be Republican, and that's plus or minus one. It could be 55, it could be 57, I think it'll be 56. Who knows? That's just my opinion. You probably have yours. But what's more important in my mind is what happens in the House. I think the Republicans will keep the House. The question is, by how much? I think they're going to get 226 seats. Remember, you have 435 seats. You need half of that plus one to have a majority. You need 218. So I think they will keep their majority, keep control of the House. And the Democrats, even though Nancy Pelosi thinks she's going to be the next speaker, I don't think so. Because unless the Democrats have 218 Democrats, and if it is, let's say it's split down the middle, you'll have 218, either Democrat or Republican, and then 217, the other party. I don't think that's going to happen. It could happen. Anything could happen. It's a possibility. I think, though, what's more likely and more higher probability is the Republicans will maintain the House, probably with 226 seats, plus or minus one. And if that's the case, that's a narrow. That's not good, but at least they keep control of the House and the committees, and the same in the Senate. And they should. They deserve it. But I'm not a Republican or Democrat. Let me say this. Am I happy about that? No. It's definitely better than Obama. That's the point. And you notice how Obama now is campaigning. I can't stand listening to him. I couldn't stand listening to him when he was president, because he did just like big lie media does today. He lied, lied, lied. And the big lie media wouldn't call him on it. But now they're getting a lot of practice lying about Donald Trump. They suddenly recovered their voice. But they haven't learned that the American people don't trust the media, the television networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, and for that matter, Fox. And they don't trust the large city papers. In other words, with the World Wide Web, they can go online and find out anything they want, is as little or as much as they want about any story. And that's what happens. It doesn't mean that people don't watch TV. And people watch TV, they listen to the radio, but the power of the networks has gone down. And in terms of the newspapers, more and more newspapers, there are literally hundreds that have gone out of business. It's a dying industry. Now, I think we'll always have some newspapers. But one of the reasons I think it's dying is it's changed, fundamentally changed from trying to be accurate, objective, unbiased to being what is truly progressive propaganda. In other words, it's bias. And one way they bias it is the stories they don't talk about because it would favor one party or one candidate. And you see it in the ratings. Look at the ratings, especially CNN. I don't know who watches CNN. Now, I know who watches it. It's the hardcore leftists. I call it the Communist News Network. Oh, yeah, they're left to center. And there's not a minute of time that they're not criticizing Trump. And that's their right. You see, I'm for and want challenging questions being asked of any administration. But in the sense of being objective, accurate, and fair about it, they're not. And that's the problem. And once the American people have perceived that, they don't trust it. And once they don't trust you, they're never going to trust you again. Unless you fundamentally change their ways, and there's no indication that at all. A matter of fact, what amazes me is CNN has lost so much credibility, it's become a laughingstock. And the laugh is on them. And who would waste any time listening to them? And I didn't vote for Donald Trump, and I certainly didn't vote for Hillary Clinton. You see, I look for, as best I can find, the most accurate news and objective news that's not slanted, that tells it the way, just the facts. It's like Dragnet, in the 50s, 60s, Jack Webb. Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. Well, that's what the American people want, and they're not getting just the facts, they're getting the propaganda. And eventually, even the slowest pick it up. But there's some people that have drunk the Kool-Aid. I have seen them. They swear by CNN. Well, you can, but I wouldn't bet your life on it, because you'll die. So we had an outstanding jobs report, and this bodes well, I think, for the Republican Party. Now, if we had a terrible jobs report, I think the Democrats would win. And pick up not only House seats, Senate seats, but that is not the case. You got to deal with reality. And the American people, if they want anything, they want results. They want a booming economy. They want a growing economy where most people, if they want a job, can find a job. That's what the American people want. And Donald Trump's economic policies have delivered. Results count. Promises kept count. Now, that doesn't mean President Trump has kept all his promises. Far from it. But this jobs report will definitely help Republicans. And I think we'll get out of the base. And Trump is already saying it. If you go and elect Democrats, you can, and I think he's absolutely right, they'll screw it up again. They're obstructionist, and it drives them crazy that President Trump is succeeding, which for the life of me, I don't care who's the president is. I want the U.S. economy to be growing and booming, and everybody that can work gets a job, wants to work and find a job. That's what we should get back to, and I emphasize that for one reason. Although there are roughly 95 million, and it is going down, people that are not in the labor force, they would come back and work if a full-time, permanent job, good-paying job with benefits were available. You have at least 10 million, and I really think that's way under. It's more like 20 to 30 million people. We don't have a labor shortage. What we have is, because of the illegal alien invasion, and I went over that last show, we have 20 to 40 million illegals that are working here, and that has kept the household income of Americans down. And that's why the American people deeply resent that and want the illegal alien invasion problem solved by building the wall and deporting all the illegal aliens that are here. Because when that happens, what's going to have to happen? Businesses, employers are going to have to increase wages, salaries, benefits to attract people. What we're seeing right now, the pendulum is swinging from where it was a buyer's market. In other words, the employer called the tune. We're back at more towards neutral, but we're going into a situation where when you can't find people, what if you can't find people and you need people to run your business, what are you going to do? You're going to increase wages. and salaries and offer goodies, a good health insurance plan, not this single-payer nonsense. And the new name for it is Medicare for All. It's really lousy care for all. You'd be crazy to do it. And the American people don't want that. What they want is the total repeal of Obamacare, lock, stock, and barrel. And that, frankly, is one of the reasons I'm still upset with the Republicans. They have not totally repealed Obamacare. That means the law, the regulations, all the taxes, all the subsidies. Hasn't been done. Needs to be done. Why hasn't it been done? They don't have the votes, and John McCain voted down. May he rest in peace. Anyway, this is an important election, but I've heard that many, many times. It is an important election because it shows, first of all, that the nation is very, very divided. But who, in terms of people, who's the majority today? Is it Democrats? Is it Republicans? No, it's neither. It's neither, folks. It's independents. They're a ballpark figure. The number has been going up. You need to look at the trend. If you look at the trend, independents have gone up, up, and up, and up. It bounces around, but it's gone up, up, and up. What that should tell you, and it does tell the politicians to the extent they're listening and even care about it, is the American people are disgusted with the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. I say throw all the bums out. Start again with someone that truly believes in a constitutional representative republic and limited government. In other words, permanently downsizing the federal government. In other words, let the people keep as much of their money as possible. Note, I didn't say zero government or minimal government. I said limited government. But there's so much that can be cut in Washington, and whole departments could be closed, and the American people won't miss them. I'll tell you who will miss them. The bureaucrats in the departments and the people that get the contracts. Government is expensive. It costs you a lot of money. That's what you got to keep in mind. Now, one thing I noticed is President Trump's jobs approval has hit 51%. Probably haven't heard that. And I think it's trending upwards, slowly but surely. And if we have a booming economy, in other words, if economic growth is consistently above 3-4%, his job approval rating will go up because you'll have month after month of positive jobs reports and quarter after quarter of GDP, real GDP numbers of 4-5%. If he does that, and the word is consistency, yeah, that's why I say month after month. If he can put in a solid 2 years, he will get a landslide victory. And then the Senate and the House, I hope the Senate would go to 60, 61 senators being Republican. And I think the House could easily go to, but that is contingent upon doing a couple of things. One, what is it? They got to cut federal spending, close federal departments. They're going to have to start doing their jobs, doing the hard lifting, making the hard choices. And eventually what they need to do, we probably will wait to the second term to do this, is you're going to have to, where's the money in Washington? Where's the big money? Yes, it's in national defense, but it's also in social welfare programs and entitlement programs. Social welfare programs need to be cut. And to the extent the economy is booming, and most, there's always going to be the truly needy. I'm not against welfare for people that truly need it. But unfortunately, I'd say half of them don't. What they need is a good-paying job and would prefer a good-paying job. And that's happening. And to the extent it does happen, yes, Trump and the Republican Party could get more of the black vote and more of the Hispanic vote. And that's what's going to shake up the Democratic Party. They're betting big that they can control this nation for decades by giving citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are here. Well, if the economy is booming and the American people see that Trump is getting results, and the fact that the overwhelming majority of the American people want the deportation of not only the 30 to 60 million that are here, but stopping any future surge into the country. So this jobs report was encouraging, but it'll be solid and excellent when it's 300,000 non-farm payroll jobs created month after month after month after month. If he can do that for 36 months, 3 years, the unemployment rate will be definitely under 3%. And I look at the U6 rate, which is approximately double, that could get under 5%, and that would be outstanding. And then you have to worry about inflation. And that's why the Fed is important, because they tend to overdo it. and throw us in a recession. And what they've done from 1914 to 19 today, a 1914 dollar today is worth pennies. I think it's down to about 2 cents because of the screw-ups and the fact there is a bias towards inflation. And who does that help? It helps the federal government. Of course it does. And that's why I say if you really think the Fed is independent, well, you're an idealist. You're also naive. Because one way governments survive is a decline in the purchasing power, which means it's inflation, folks. As the late great Milton Friedman said, is always a monetary consequence. It is. And why President Trump is right to be concerned about the Fed, I think he's entirely too early. I would just be quiet for a year and see what Powell does. The only thing I don't like of what Powell's doing, I don't think you need to do it quarter after quarter after quarter. And it doesn't have to necessarily be a quarter percent. You could wait one or two quarters or three and then make it three quarters. When you have solid data, and they supposedly keep going on, that they're data driven. So Donald Trump's popularity is up. The jobs report's outstanding. And what are the American people concerned about, really concerned about? The economy. That's not a surprise. Almost every election, it's the economy. Sometimes it's jobs. It's the same thing. It's the economy. Can I get a job? Can I keep a job? Can I get increases in pay? Can my standard of living go up? That's been the history of the United States. If you can deliver on that, you can get reelected, well, now only two times. I say that, but I think the worst president was FDR, and he didn't deliver, but he knew how to fool people, and he had a machine behind him, and it hurt the U.S. economy, just like Obama did. At least he had positive economic growth. The problem is it was approximately two-thirds of where it should have been. And the second issue, I think, is for sure illegal immigration. The American people want it stopped. And illegal immigration is first and foremost a job issue. So they know it's impacting, has been impacting their job opportunities as well as how much money they bring home. And finally, the American people are concerned about having a good health insurance plan. But it's not Obama. They need to put a spike in Obama, the Affordable Care Act, and totally repeal it. And they better do it. If they keep control of the House and the Senate, the Republicans better do it. Because a lot of Republicans probably won't vote because they didn't do it. Now, not as many that I thought. I think that has gone down for the simple reason the economy has gone up. As the extent that the economy is doing well, you get a little forgiveness. But a lot of dye-in-the-wool Republicans are not happy that the Republican Party has not totally killed Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. And I mean everything, not just the mandate that forced you to buy it. Well, that was easy to pass. That almost all Americans didn't like that, especially young people. But you need to get rid of all subsidies, all taxes, the laws and the regulation. Kill the whole thing. And I mean all of it. Not this wishy-washy, a little bit, we'll keep this, we'll keep, no, we'll give the people what they want here. We'll make sure they don't have to buy it. Get rid of it. We don't want socialized medicine. We don't want a single-payer system. And we certainly don't want Medicare for all. And I warn politicians, the senior citizens, those that are on Medicare, and that includes a lot of baby boomers and more every year, don't want to expand this. See, the American people like their health care provided by their employer. It's not the best way. I think the best way is that individuals can buy their own group care. You decide how much money you want to spend and then buy the group. But, and I don't have time to go through the history. It really was a way to attract workers during World War II when you couldn't increase wages. Well, you could give them a health plan, and that's how it started, and it's people like it, and it works. Now, there are businesses, unfortunately, too many of them, that would like to let the government do it. Let us get out of this. Well, I'm for competition, and one way employers compete for workers, employees, is by providing the best employee benefits. And the larger, outstanding, successful companies, that's what they do. They know they need the best employees, so they make sure they have the best health care and the best retirement plans. And once you have that, what do you attract? You attract good to outstanding employees. You see, competition is the key. You need competition to provide the consumer with the best products and services to get quality. And you also need competition in the labor market. And as the economy improves, more and more employers are going to have to offer more money, better benefits to attract people. And if they don't get them. It's that simple. And there's some amongst those 20 to 30 million, many of them are older workers. Let me make this clear. There's some outstanding people. So you need an employer that is capable, has the money, and is willing to spend it to get good people. And there are corporations like that. Now, that's not going to be the situation for new companies starting out. But they need to compete for labor, too, and that's the beauty of competition. Competition makes people better and better, both in terms of the product, the service, and in the benefits and salaries you offer people. So it's really the free enterprise, competitive market capitalist system that the American people know works and has delivered the goods. What has not delivered the goods is bigger and bigger government. And every time we intervene in the private sector and in the Democratic Party, and to some extent the Republican Party as well, we get in bad situations. We get in recessions, we get into depressions, and we get what we have right now, a massive debt of over $22 trillion, and in terms of unfunded liabilities and obligations, over 10 times that, over $200 trillion. You can't continue doing that. There's no such thing as a free lunch. This is not sustainable. You're going to fundamentally have to downsize the federal government, and I don't see that happening with either Democrats or Republicans. That's what's truly necessary. Well, it looks like I've run out of time. What you should be looking for is every month at least 300,000 non-farm payroll jobs. You should see the labor participation rate going up, a tenth of a percent or more each month. And that, if you can consistently do that for 3 years, you'll have near full employment, a booming economy. And I think then the Republicans will win election after election. The Democrats will continue to lose election after election. Everybody loves a winner and wants to vote for a winner. They don't want to vote for losers. And big lie media is a big loser. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.